Morning, it looks like we have glasses to drop off and take away, huh? Thank you. The next matter on our calendar for oral argument today is the resolution ordering abatement on property located in Circle Pines, Minnesota. While you are getting settled, you will note the courtroom looks a little bit different today. We have one of our judges, Judge Frisch, participating remotely, and we are grateful that we have the technology that permits this. And please do be mindful as you're presenting your arguments that Judge Frisch is participating and may ask you questions as we go along, just as she would if she were in the courtroom physically. You will each have 15 minutes to present your argument. Counsel for relators, you will also have 5 minutes for rebuttal should you choose to use it. It is important that you state your name and identify the parties you represent when you begin your argument. And with that, when you're ready, counsel for relator, you may proceed. Relators. The podium can go up and down, depending on, there's a button right underneath, as I understand.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Yeah.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Daniel Devaney from Frederickson and Byron. I hear on behalf of the relators in this matter, Thomas Pollack and Timothy Pollack. And Tim Pollack is behind me in the audience there. The case before the court is a certiorari challenge of a resolution by the City of Circle Pines regarding nuisance abatement of a property at 10100 Lake Drive. Issues and arguments on appeal are set forth in detail in the briefing. I will generally refer to that, but I want to emphasize a few issues here today. Obviously, answer any questions that the court might have. As set forth in the briefing, there are three main bases on which the city's decision should be reversed. First, there were several defects in proceedings and notice that violated due process. Second, the city's decision was not supported by law or substantial evidence. And third, the city's decision was arbitrary and capricious in several respects. And Your Honors, I think all these issues are informed by overarching principles of nuisance abatement set forth by the Minnesota Supreme Court in the Village of Zumbrota case that's set forth in our briefing. Nuisance abatement is to be executed prudently to avoid unnecessary curtailment of the rights of owners of private property. And in the absence of an emergency situation, the notice and opportunity to be heard are the essence of due process of law should be provided freely and unequivocally because of the fact that judgment averse to the owner results in loss without compensation. And respectfully, Your Honors, those principles were trampled in these proceedings.
Given, counsel, the deferential standard of review, right? You're here under a certiorari petition. What is your strongest argument for reversal?
Your Honor, Judge Bjorkman, I honestly think that all these arguments are sound. There's several process. There are just major problems with the process here in terms of notice, violations of the city's statutes. They just never had a chance to meaningfully do anything or meaningfully be heard on what the issue is. We don't think that the evidence supports the decision, and the council, and I think this is a compelling one as well, this is the Rostam Kani case, where the council completely failed to consider a relevant aspect of the issue in not considering the actual condition and remediation attempts. And I think the ultimate decision, it's addressed in the briefing, just arbitrary and capricious to give unbridled discretion when what the city ordered the Pollacks to do and what they had a hearing on what they were able to present against effectively, the city acknowledged it was unreasonable and was excessive. And that I was going to get to that specific point, Your Honors, as I get into the different issues. But honestly, Judge Bjorkman, I think all these are good bases.
Let me ask you then about the due process. Here's my thing. Doesn't your client's ability to retain lawyers, to retain an expert witness, and make a presentation to the city council, I mean, doesn't that sort of undercut your argument that they didn't have an opportunity to be heard? Seems like they did. I know it wasn't, they didn't get the first letter. What they didn't follow the service by registered or certified mail requirement in their own ordinances, but how did that harm your client at the end of the day?
Yeah, sure, Your Honor. So this, I think this all stems from the city's ordinance. This is section 700.06. And there are two specific issues with that. The first is that this is a two-step process, and this was addressed in the briefing. And an ordinance clearly contemplates a first notice served by particular means, calculated so that they get it. And then there is a chance to abate before it goes to the next step. And the operative language is, if the notice is not complied with within the time specified, then it is reported to the council, and then it can be set for hearing. So like other ordinances in this context, it contemplates an opportunity for abatement before this goes to hearing and is reported to the council.
Since there was the hearing at both on August 10th, I believe, and then on the 23rd, you had two, there were two hearings. There was that, wasn't there that opportunity? And in fact, you later say, well, it's not supported by, the action is not supported by substantial evidence because we did take corrective action. Aren't those at odds with each other?
Judge Jessen, I don't think so. So I guess the specific issue with the ordinance is that there's an opportunity for abatement. And another one that I wanted to highlight was that the first notice shall specify the steps to be taken to abate the nuisance. And in this case, the notice that they received said, destroy, demolish the entire foundation on the property by July 16th. That wasn't properly served. That's undisputed. They didn't get that until a week after the city unilaterally declared it a nuisance. When we got the first opportunity to be heard at August 10th, we specifically addressed that issue of what the city ordered, the specific steps.
Right, and at that time, I mean, think the city council, I mean, there was discussion that, I mean, the concern was the safety, right? I mean, that was the primary concern. And I think there was discussion that, okay, maybe you wouldn't have to actually destroy the foundation. Maybe it's a matter of putting the cover on it. So didn't your clients have pretty good notice by that time that hearing was done on August 10th of exactly what they needed to do?
So not exactly, Your Honor. So we were learning that, and this is set forth in the briefing too. We were learning this for the first time. So we came in and the city conceded. We said, there is no basis to demolish the foundation. The city conceded the foundation isn't the problem. And that's what the notice just said. It cited the vague nuisance standard, and then the specific steps it ordered was to destroy that foundation. And we got to that point at the August 10th hearing, Your Honor, and this was not the first or the last time. We were pleading, tell us what the actual issue is and tell us the steps that make sense. And it's frustrating to see in the city's briefing that a less invasive approach was considered at that time. And another thing that's, so we were before the council.
Question from the, I'm looking at the photos, and I know you didn't get them right in June, but or your clients didn't, but I mean, the condition is that we've got this fencing that's down, and you've got holes and uncovered areas. I don't understand, I mean, yes, I understand your position that we didn't know we could do something other than completely demolish the structure to abate and make sure there's no nuisance existing. But in terms of the overall notice of what the city's concerned about, it seems to me the photos, right? Pictures worth a thousand words or something like that.
So, Your Honor, and there's several photos, right, at different times here. And I think important thing to emphasize is that we try to do everything we reasonably can to respond. So they got these photos late. And I'm not going to argue, Your Honor, that it's aesthetically pleasing. To go to the substance argument, that's not the standard. And I'm not going to argue it was. And they recognized when they got it, if the city wants us to do something, we will try to do something to appease, you know, regardless of whether something rises to a public nuisance. So before the August 10th hearing, there's photos, and all the photos are in Exhibit 14, Your Honor. They set up concrete barriers. It's cleaned up. I mean, it looks nothing, even as of August 10th, it looks nothing like those photos. And again, not to say that that's a nuisance. Eyesore, that the court has made clear, is not a public nuisance. But there is no hole. There are no, and it confirmed even by August 10th that this was surrounded. And they based on the, to go back to, you know, did they have notice? On August 10th, there was a comment by the mayor that's in the briefing of, when I asked, just tell us what the specific problems are and what you would like us to do. And I think the response was, well, if you were listening here tonight, you would know that. And so even after the August 10th hearing, they went out, and this is also in Exhibit 14, they went out and did more. And I don't think that the city tries to fault them by trying to do something, saying that, oh, they obviously had notice of what the city wanted here. but trying to appease a city that seems intent on taking this to litigation, I don't think they can be faulted for that. And so if you look at those photos on Exhibit 14, and some of them are in the brief, Your Honor, to compare that to what you were referencing, Judge Bjorkman, they did everything they can. And as we sit here today—
And I guess that was my point on the notice. I mean, clearly your clients were able to address what they learned on August 10th was the real concern, and that is someone accessing and falling through this uncovered and accessible foundation. And your clients knew what to do after August 10th, didn't they?
Your Honor, I don't think that the characterization matches the evidence of what was actually there. It was a concrete floor, so there's no dispute. There was a concrete flooring covering it with a few limited openings that were covered with plywood, and none of the pictures show a hole. What it devolved to during the August 10th hearing was the building inspector said, well, the foundation that they ordered to demolish, that was never really the issue. My problem is that I would just like to see something encircling the site, and I want to see those limited entrances, make sure that those are securely fastened. And that was done. And in response to other comments at that hearing, there was someone who mentioned, we don't like the poles that are sticking up. Eyesore is obviously not a nuisance, but they took those down. And they cleaned up the site, obviously, and the photos reflect that. And that's why that goes into the arbitrary and capricious, the failure to consider, because this train was already rolling at that time. And when the council, it became clear that notice wasn't initially provided and that abatement period, which I think it does, the ordinance provides that opportunity for abatement before it gets referred to the council. They never had that. And so they were just hearing it at the hearing for the first time. And we're pleading throughout the process, tell us what you want to do. And what should have happened at the August 10th hearing was, what we want them to do is completely different in nature than what we gave them notice of. And they're supposed to specify in the notice what they need to do. And if they don't do that, the city is acting on it. So the city is going to go do something else. Judge, I see you over there, but I think you can see me in the camera. Judge Frisch, as to what's required with the notice, I guess first it needs to be given, and there needs to be an opportunity to do something. And I think that relates to the DLJ case that we cited, which involved a St. Paul statute that had a similar process here. There is a notice/order that goes to the property owner with a reasonable amount of time to abate. If that is not complied with, then it goes to hearing. And the court said because of failure to give that notice, that first step, that was a violation of due process because they could have had a chance to do something if they actually got that notice, if it was properly served. As to what the notice contains, Judge Frisch, at minimum, I think it does need to apprise the property owner of generally what the problem is. And based on the text of the ordinance, it needs to specify the steps to be taken to abate the nuisance. And this one did that, Your Honor. But the steps were demolish the entire foundation. And that was extremely costly, extremely harmful, and extremely unnecessary. And the city essentially has conceded that. So what should happen then is, and again, just to remind, this is not an emergency situation. This property it was torn down, the building that was there was torn down at the city's request in 2018. This came out of the blue in June. There's no record or evidence of any other protests, any other complaints until this notice went out in June, wasn't properly served, did not get it until late July, until after the demand to demolish the foundation had passed. And so to get back to your question, Judge Frisch, sorry, I'm winding a little bit, but they still haven't specified a reasonable abatement method and given the Pollocks a chance to do it. And that's contemplated in the statute. So when Judge Frisch, when it says specify the steps, those steps need to be supportable, and they need to allow the property owner to do something to address what the city says is the problem. So I think in a number of ways, that's two defects here, essentially. No notice at all, and the goalposts have been shifting. They're still shifting. We don't know where they stand, and we tried to respond to them after the August 10th hearing, and that's why it makes that disregarding of the August 23rd evidence before the city made its decision, that's what makes that so much more meaningful, because all these errors compound, and it's the same problem with the arbitrary and capricious nature of the resolution giving no check to discretion. The staff can do whatever they want, and the city argues on one hand that it can do what it set forth in the notices, and on the other hand that it's now limited to some less invasive means that we never got notice of or had an opportunity to do. So it's all these errors compound. Procedural defects lead to an arbitrary and capricious decision, and the Pollocks have been trying to work with the city from the jump on this to avoid ending up here, to avoid expenditure of resources, and frankly, if the notice specified less invasive approach than demolishing a perfectly, what the city referred to as a perfectly good foundation, I doubt we would be here, because this is, we've been offering and pleading for the city to tell us what the problem is and what we can do. And this leads into other arguments, Your Honors, and I don't have time to address them now, but that the city pursued its will and did not exercise objective judgment, because it was set on taking over this property. It wasn't going to let substantive or procedural defects get in the way of that. So I see I have 5 seconds left. I'll back to the court again in my 5 minutes.
Yep,
thank you.
We will hear from you at the end of the argument. Thank you. Counsel for respondent. Again, if you need to adjust the podium, there's a button underneath.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think we're about the same height. Okay. So this should work pretty good. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Shelley Ryan. I represent the respondent, City of Circle Pines. As you know, this appeal arises out of the city's decisions to abate nuisance conditions on property owned by the appellants. The city engaged in a multi-step process in its proceedings, starting first with the building official, of course, in his role as an inspector, and to identify the nuisance conditions and alert those conditions to the city staff. Notices were sent, time to abate was given, and a public hearing was held, at which time the city staff, city council, the appellants, their council, and their inspector, as also members of the public, were given ample opportunity to speak on all relevant issues. And, Your Honors, the process worked in this case. We had a nuisance that we alerted the property owner to. We held the necessary process. We debated. The city council heard and listened to the information provided by the property owners. The
one piece that seems to be missing to me is I think the record shows that the city council did not consider the evidence as it existed on August 23rd.
That is incorrect, Your Honor.
Why am I wrong about that?
Yes, Your Honor. The public hearing was held on August 10th. There was a public hearing that was opened, and there was a public hearing that was closed. All information in the record, all testimony was taken and provided during that August 10th hearing.
And that was kind of the first time that I think the city building and somebody from the city said, okay, no, we're not, you don't need to demolish the foundation. You just need to put a big cover, better cover on it, and make it less accessible, right?
Yes, Your Honor. That was the time at which point the property owners were given the opportunity. Again, they had notice by that time. They knew what was happening on the property. They were given that opportunity to come in and give their side and say, hey, wait, that's drastic. We don't need to do that. And the city council obviously heard them, heard the drastic arguments that they were making and said, okay, let's consider some other options.
But Ms. Ryan, if it's not till August 10th that realtors here understand what they needed to do then, not destroy the whole foundation, but take these other steps, then if you didn't consider what they did at the city didn't at the August 23rd, it's like they finally got learned what they're supposed to do, or they did at some point, retract finally. They learned on August 10th. but they were given no opportunity to show they did it. Isn't that really what this is the concern? That's my concern.
Yes, Your Honor. And I think there's multiple pieces to that. So the letter obviously gave the pictures. The notice told them what the conditions were that constituted the nuisance. And there's a distinction here in terms of what the nuisance actually is. The pictures that we've provided showed the dilapidated covering, the plywood, things of that nature. And that's what we deem to be the nuisance because, as you recall, many, many years ago when the property owners demolished the bar restaurant, they left the foundation. And I want to be clear on what we're talking about is the foundation. The foundation is the walls of the basement, and those are all still there. They're intact. But what's the nuisance condition is by leaving the foundation and the actual hole in the ground that is a basement that is below ground, they left kind of a subfloor and some plywood. Not secured, just laid over there.
Safety is the issue here,
Safety
right?
is the issue here. Right. And that's what was shown on the pictures. And so when our building inspector reviewed that, as is his job under the city code initially, this first stage process, is to review the condition and say, wait a minute, we have safety concerns here and hazards. Here's the notice. We think he thought at that stage that the most efficient, the most comprehensive way to remedy that is, of course, to remove the foundation, and to eliminate the hole in the ground, fill it, make it grade. So that's what went to the council. And that, undisputedly, went to plaintiffs. Their council received all notices a couple weeks before the hearing, at least 10 days before the hearing. They got notice of the public hearing.
Right. They didn't get notice of the July 26th hearing, though, right?
There was no July 26th hearing, and there was no need to be. Plaintiffs make much about some notice and opportunity to be heard before we declared this a public nuisance, which is not pursuant and required under either state law or our city code provisions.
Well, your city code says that the June letter should have gone by registered certified mail, and it didn't.
It didn't,
so
Your Honor.
So there's a notice defect, correct?
There's a defective notice piece, but that we did remedy that. We sent a subsequent notice, and I will mention that that first notice did go to plaintiff's counsel. We have an email confirmation. It's in the record that it did.
So, Ms. Ryan, if we agree with your position on the notice, that the notice is appropriate, here's my bottom line concern. I think it's the substantial evidence. So I'm looking at the resolution of the City Council on August 23rd. The conditions on the property continue to constitute a public nuisance, okay? And yet, isn't it true that by August 23rd, there were concrete barriers and fencing surrounding the basement? I mean,
agree
that that's true, right?
Yes.
So how, if that's the case, how is there substantial evidence to show that the conditions on the property continue to constitute a public nuisance? In what way?
Yes, Your Honor, but we also have to look at the evidence before the City Council at the August 10th hearing in conjunction with the information provided at the August 23rd. There was no hearing on August 23rd.
But Ms. Ryan, I'm looking at the decision itself. It says continue to constitute a public nuisance, and it's dated August 23rd. It's not saying, and that constituted a public nuisance on August 10th.
Yes, Your Honor. But again, the resolution is the culmination of the entire process, which includes the entire record of the proceedings. That said, by August 23rd, what had been submitted was a letter by counsel, opposing counsel, with the same pictures that they had submitted on August 10th, with a narrative by the attorney with no new factual information. All of the same information that they provided at that time was before the City Council on August 10th. The Jersey barriers were there. The only new fact was a chain link fence that they had put up on top of the Jersey barriers. So that is insufficient to overturn what the City Council had found at the August 10th hearing. In the record, there's evidence by the building inspector, city staff, indicating that Jersey barriers, they're the ones that you see a lot of times on the highways for construction projects. They're low, like 3 foot high, concrete. They kind of butt up next to each other. It's not a secured fence. It's not a secured system to keep people off of that flooring that is simply still not safe. So at that point, on August 23rd, even with the information provided, which we did admit into the record, which we did allow Mr. DeVinny to speak about, even though he did not offer anything new, it was still not enough to undercut the city's prior factual findings that what they had done was simply not enough. And in terms of having enough time and understanding...
Did the council even discuss that there's now a fence on top of it? Or did they simply rely on the city attorney's representation to them that there was not a substantial change in the evidence from what relators submitted on August 10th and what they submitted on August 22nd?
Yes, Your Honor. Two issues with that. Regarding the fence, I don't have the photos that they submitted in front of me, but the two photos in council's brief, I believe, do not show the fence on it. So there's nothing in the record, I believe, that has pictures of the fence. That's something...
I'm looking at addendum 51.
Are they in there?
It looks like there's a big fence above the concrete.
Above the concrete, yeah. Yes. So that was in the record. The city did have access to when, obviously I'm the city attorney, I received that email and I immediately forwarded it to city staff, received confirmation that the city administrator had forwarded that full document to each member of the city council for their review prior to that
And
hearing.
Is this in the record, what you're just telling us now?
It is. There is a
letter. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, there is a letter. I think it's attached. My email to Mr. DeVinny in Exhibit 14. Of the record that confirms receipts has been distributed to the city council. So they did have all information before their meeting on August 23rd, but it was within their discretion to review the information based on what they knew of the entirety of the proceedings and determine that the nuisance still existed and that based on what the information provided at the August 10th hearing pertained to, that the corrective actions that the plaintiffs had taken or appellants had taken was still insufficient to address the nuisance, and therefore went ahead with the passing the resolution. I'd like to touch on sort of this arbitrary and capricious final argument that they've made. And I think that it's, again, it's wrapped up with this August 23rd submission. As I've just explained, that was before the court. It was incumbent on the individual council members to determine what weight to give to that. We don't second guess at this stage what the council members attributed to that. And I think that's a little bit of what's going on here in this appeal, is that the property owners feel that the city acted arbitrarily because we didn't accept what they were telling us was their perspective, and we found a different view of the evidence before us, that this, in fact, is a nuisance, regardless of their efforts to abate what they thought was the nuisance. Like I mentioned at the outset, you know, the process worked as it was intended to give property owners notice and an opportunity to correct, to engage in conversation with the city, which they did at the public hearing. The council members, I think, are very clear in how that hearing progressed in terms of hearing from staff, then the property owners, public hearing, comments from the public, coming back through hearing from the property owners again. And you can see in their deliberations in the record that the council did consider and determine that there is a nuisance. And again, the nuisance is based on the safety and security. It's not based on the foundation itself. Yet, taking into account their testimony and evidence in terms of abatement and what's proper for abatement, determined that, and it's clear in the record, that abatement here, most narrowly tailored or most tailored to what the problems are, is putting a cover over that basement area. Note that decision was in August, and, you know, that has been time to, since that time, the owners have been on notice of what the abatement is required after that hearing. And there is no other opportunities built into the nuisance or the nuisance statute, the city code provisions that require the city to conduct further hearings, conduct further evidentiary processes after that public hearing. So in terms of the city's process, it was designed the way it was to ensure a measured step-by-step procedure to ensure a balance between taking care of what is a hazardous, potentially safety issue to the public, but also tempering that against the private property owner's rights and ensuring that after hearing from them, we take the steps necessary to ensure the safety of our citizens without going so far as to force property owners to incur unnecessary costs in the abatement process. The city has done that here, and the city requests that the court affirm its decisions and dismiss the writ. Thank you.
Thank you. Council for Relators, you will have the last word.
Thank you, Your Honor. I want to address a few broad points that came up during Ms. Ryan's presentation. The first is, there seems to be acknowledgement now that the first real notice of what the city thought was wrong or what it wanted the Pollocks to do was August 10th at the hearing when we were trying to figure that out and did take steps afterwards. There was reference to, I don't know if it was after August 10th or August 23rd, that now somehow after the resolution that the Pollocks have notice of what to do, and we can talk about what has happened after the resolution. The city has taken control of the property and is, we don't know what they're going to do next. But that doesn't directly relate to the whether there's basis for the decision. And I want to note one thing: to the extent that August 10th was the first time these things were being revealed, there's a statement by the city's attorney on August 10th. This is Exhibit 10, page 75. I want to make clear that we understand that we are not seeking any actions on the part of the property owner for abatement. What we're doing tonight is taking over the abatement. So the night we found out what they seemingly thought was wrong, and they were still considering and had not established what they were going to do, they said, we are taking it out of your hands. It is our property now, and it still is. The other issue I want to raise, Judge Jessen, you were talking about whether the council considered the actual state of the property, because the operative conclusion here, the main conclusion of the council in its resolution, property continues to be a public nuisance as of August 23rd. And so whether the city, and this is on point with Rostam Khani and Beeview, these cases, that was the only basis for reversing the council's decision there. And I think that the proceedings leading up to this are far more problematic than in that case. There were mischaracterizations during Ms. Ryan's presentation about what the actual submission was on August 23rd and how it was received and whether it was evaluated. First, the work, I mean, the photos are in there, and there was reference to the fact that there were photos just from the same ones at the August 10th hearing. That's not the case at all. And it goes through, and we were there and offered the council to explain it. We were at the August 23rd hearing. Said, we can explain this. Please look at the submission, at what's actually going on there. And this was in response to the comments by the city's source of evidence at the hearing was its building inspector, who eventually retreated to the position where, I just don't like that there's not a fence. I want to see those couple holes covered. That was taken care of and more. And I will just note on the substance of the evidence issue that source, he couldn't identify the last time he was at the property, the city's building inspector. I asked him that, and he said, I don't recall. So we don't know when the last time he was actually there was. And there's no evidence that it's any time after June when those photos were taken. So in terms of whether the August 23rd submission was received, that is the problem. It was received. The question is whether it was actually evaluated by the decision-making body. It was received. That's why it provided a basis for reversal in Rossum County and Beeview, is that it was received. They had that information. Property owners got it to them. The problem was that they didn't consider it.
How do we know that if, in fact, they were provided with the packet of the letter and the photos before the meeting? Why should we assume that they didn't look at them?
So Ms. Ryan did provide them, and so that's on the record that they had them. And I think it's really clear, and this is set forth in detailed it on the record at the August 23rd proceeding. I just want to grab a reply brief really quick so I can refer to it. The interaction between me and the mayor and how the mayor made abundantly clear that based on council's direction, the city council, based on the city's attorney's direction, that council was not considering it and read the statement by the city's attorney that there's no new information. So I think I won't reread that interaction, but it's in the reply brief, and it is abundantly clear that the council did not actually consider that information, the condition of the property as of that day, because it was directed by council. He said it at the outset, and then at the end, when I tried to explain, Mr. Mayor, you need to consider this as a decision-making body, because in this proposed draft resolution, which city's attorney prepared, the council never debated. They just rubber stamped it as part of the consent agenda. It says this is a continued public nuisance. And the mayor said, we're going to rely on our attorney on that. So the council didn't evaluate it. This is on all fours with Rostam County. And that feeds into the, I want to address the quantum of the evidence, but the problem is the city didn't even care or consider the evidence when it made its resolution. The first time the relators had a chance after they actually got notice, the day of a hearing, which should have been months prior. So thank you, Your Honors. Appreciate the court's time and consideration.
All right. Thank you, counsel. Thank you both for your helpful arguments. We will take the matter under advisement and issue our decision within the statutory period.